Hello, members. I call this meeting of the Education Policy Committee to order. And I believe we have a quorum, and we have two different sets of minutes that we need to attend to. So has anyone had a chance to look at the minutes for Monday, March 11th? Representative Barr.
Madam Chair, move the approval of the minutes of March 11th.
Representative Barr moves the approval of the minutes for Monday, March 11th. Any discussion to that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? The minutes for Monday, March 11th have been approved.
Madam Chair, I move approval of the minutes of March 12th.
Thank you, Representative Barr. You're way ahead of me. Representative Barr moves the minutes for Tuesday, March 12th. Any discussion on that motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? The minutes for Tuesday, March 12th have been approved. Members, I wanted to also call attention to our agenda for tomorrow, the House file number. We have Representative Sandell has a bill up that we've just posted, 1838, and I had spoken to Representative Erickson about it earlier today. It's a bill for the Board of School Administrators. Thank you, Representative Erickson. It takes a tribe to run a committee. So we put that on. It really doesn't belong in our committee. It could have gone right to finance, but got sent to us, so we just want to hear it quick and send it right back out. So we'll be doing that tomorrow, along with the other two bills I mentioned that we're just going to be taking off the table and moving along to the general registry. So with that, members, we do have House File 1711 that we're going to be taking up and marking up with amendments. There's a good chunk of the amendments started in your folders. We're going to get a few more added. Duplicating was so far behind, we didn't want to swamp them with all 28 because we're not going to get to all 28 today. You know, we're an accelerated group, but I just don't think that's going to happen. So, Representative Erdahl this morning, you said 1 minute amendment, but maybe two. Okay, we'll see. So, we have those in our packet. Now, we took a lot of testimony over the last day and a half, so we're not really going to take any testimony on amendments, but if folks have a question that needs to be answered or any more details to be taken on it, we will definitely phone a friend and have them come up. And with that, let me see, I just want to get myself in order here, and I'm going to have Representative Kunesh Podin, our vice chair, go ahead and take over the gavel, and I'll move to the testifiers table with all my stuff. Everybody's just tired from lunch, or they're all anxiously awaiting.
Okay, so I think we'll begin. Members, we have House File 1711 before us, and we will now be taking up the amendments to DE1 amendment, the omnibus bill. We will begin with the author's amendments.
Trying to organize myself here. I like tabs. There we go. Make sure you touch the microphone.
Members, the author has the amendment labeled H1711A41. Chair Joaquin, would you like to move your author's amendment?
Yes, I would, Madam Chair. I'd like to move the House File, the A41 amendment to the DE1 of House File 1711.
Chair Joaquin moves the A41 amendment. Chair Joaquin, please speak to your amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. House File 41, I already kind of gave you guys a heads up on it. This is the one, this is the author's amendment I had to kind of take care of some of the stuff that we forgot to put in there. But first, I have to apologize. It was my intent to include the background check upon the renewal of the teacher's license in here. That got missed before, but we didn't catch it before the 2:30 deadline for amendments. So I want to work on that to make sure we can get it into Ed Finance, too. So as you look at the amendment, I'll just quickly on page 8, It's just a technical amendment changing state of Minnesota's to states. I believe that was in the Pelsby language so that we make sure that we're accepting coursework from other states. Section 1 on 1.5 is part of the governor's policy bill that I forgot to add in, which is about the study abroad programs. And 3.8, 3.9, 3.10, and 3.11, those are all technical corrections that the revisor caught when they were looking over. Actually, I misspoke. 3.8 is an amendment that I believe was to Erdahl's section that he has in some of his amendments to striking the government and citizenship language. So I added that. Section 29, starting on 3.13, is the governor's language on affiliated building corporations. And then we have on 4.19 and 4.20 is part of the teachers of color language. And we had cross-referenced statutes that actually weren't included in our policy bill that are included in the budget bill. So we took those back out. Page 4.21 is actually the Minnesota approved, the state approved of the Pelsby bill. 4.22, 4.23, 4.24, 2.5 are all technical in nature that the advisors found. 4.26 is just some word uses changes. 4.28 to 4.30, once again, technical changes. 4.31 and 5.1 are on Representative Pryor's conciliation bill. This was asked by the stakeholders that struck the deal with PACER to have that language go in. 5.20 is another one of those cross-references that needed to be fixed, actually needed to be noted because we didn't note it. And then 5.3 through 5.6, more technical changes, and of course 5.7, the good old remember the sections and sequence and correct internal references statute. So does anybody have any questions on the A41 amendment?
Chair Yelkeem has moved the A41 amendment. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The motion prevails. The amendment is adopted.
Madam Chair, could I also move the A42 amendments?
Thank you, Chair Yelkeem. She moves the A42 amendment. Chair Yelkeem, please speak to your amendment.
On 1.3, you're going to see another one of those cross-references from the Teachers of Color Indigenous Acts provisions of this bill, and it's a statute that's referenced that's actually attached to grant money that is not being noted in our policy bill. So we remove that one as well.
Chair Yelkeem moves the A42 amendment. Chair Yelkeem, please speak to your amendment. Oops, excuse me. let's see. She's moved the A42. Is there any other discussion? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The motion prevails. Members, there's an amendment labeled A26. May I ask, who is offering this? Representative Baker.
Madam Chair, thank you. And to the author, Chair Yelkeem. Again, this is the Labor Day.
Representative, would you like to move your amendment?
Yes, Madam Chair. I'd like to move the A26 amendment.
Okay. Representative Baker moves the A26 amendment. Please speak to your amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And members, again, I just wanted to make some comments about the really important need for Labor Day start stuff. It's a big deal. And, again, I appreciate the work Chair Yelkeem wanted to do it to kind of come with a compromise. Even the two-year changes that we're looking at down the road here, I want you to understand how important it is to the hospitality industry around Minnesota and to the employees that are needed to operate these businesses that are in a very limited window of time to make money. I also am a member of the Explore Minnesota Advisory Committee. Yesterday we had a very good meeting, had the annual report. And just shy of $1 billion in sales tax is what's brought into the state of Minnesota with hospitality, exploring, and tourism in Minnesota. It's vital to our state. Losing that last week and those 2 years will really, really hurt these businesses. And as a operator myself in a seasonal business, I will tell you this is critical. It's important that we maintain this. And with the, and I don't want to sound like I'm this business person that just wants to and grabs onto these employees, but these are vital employees that are in high school, and they also need the money too. I think we can delay and work our window around the school system. With that, Madam Chair, I'd hope that you would allow this to go on to the bill. Maybe we can work on some things later, but this is an important industry that that I want to protect, and I really think that having schools not begin before Labor Day is something that should be solid in Minnesota. So with that, I ask for your approval, Madam Chair.
All right. Representative Baker has moved the A26 amendment. Is there any other discussion?
Madam Chair, I'd like to respond to the amendment. Thank you. So this does get rid of the pre-Labor Day start for the next 2 years. And, you know, we had a nice discussion in committee. I brought the full exemption to give local control to schools. I realized that there was some heartburn, so I really was proud to include Representative Christensen's bill in this that just gives our schools a break for the next 2 years because, as we saw this year, now we're dealing with being short on school days. So we have 165 days kids have to attend, and with a Labor Day start on September 7th and September 6th the following year, if we had another winter like this, we'd be in a lot of trouble. So this just merely gives the exemptions for the next 2 years. So I would unfortunately ask you to oppose this amendment.
Is there any other discussion? All right. So once again, Representative Baker has moved the A26 amendment. Hearing, is there any other discussion? Hearing none, those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
No.
The motion does not prevail. The amendment is not adopted. All right. On to the next one. Members, there's an amendment labeled A5. May I ask, who is offering this?
Madam Chair, I move the A5 amendment.
All right. Representative, would you like to... So Representative Erickson moves the A5 amendment. Representative, would you please speak to your amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to keep present law as it is. We have a cultural competency defined in law, and when... teachers are being evaluated, that's the statute that should prevail, and I would ask for your support.
Chair Yao King, would you like to respond?
Thank you, members. This language deletes the work that Kelsey would like to see done on preparing our teachers renewing their Tier 3 and 4 licenses with cultural competency training. I think it's really important subject area for our schools and support, and Kelsey going through the rulemaking process for this I think it's a good thing to do, so I would ask for a no vote.
All right. Representative Erickson has moved the A5 amendment. Is there any further discussion?
Well, Madam Chair, what Representative Joachim is referring to is in rule. What I'm referring to is in the law, and I think that's what we should be following when teachers are under evaluation. That the evaluation on top of their ability to interact with parents on the three areas that have been defined by Representative Mariani years ago would be native language, it would be race, and it would be socioeconomic. And I think that's where we want to see that relationship occur between our teachers and our parents. Thank you.
Chair Yao King.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I phoned a friend.
Madam Chair, Representative.
Go ahead.
Alex Liuzzi, Pelsby. The teacher development and evaluation statute would still remain, and teachers would be able to be evaluated on all of the pieces. Districts set up their teacher development and evaluation in different ways. What this would just do is the cultural competence training that was required for Tier 1 and Tier 2 teachers, this just makes sure that that language in Tier 3 and Tier 4 renewals also cannot be waived by a summative evaluation in teacher development and evaluation. We believe all teachers should have cultural competence training, not only in the early tiers, but for every renewal, as we know how important this work is, especially as we have conversations about increasing teachers of color and improving the school climate. So we support the idea of keeping this language outside of being waived from a summative evaluation.
Thank you, Mr. Luisi. Chair Yao-Kim, any comments?
So, yes, I've asked for a no vote on this amendment.
All right. Representative Erickson has moved the A5 amendment. Any more discussion? Hearing none, those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
The gavel does not prevail and the amendment is not adopted. All right, moving on to the next one. Members, there's an amendment labeled A6. May I ask who's offering this?
Madam Chair, I move the A6 amendment.
All right, Representative Erickson moves the A6 amendment. Would you please speak to your amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And if you're looking, everyone, on page 39, line 27, and then lines 28 and 29, when we're using words like satisfactory, when we have teacher evaluation occurring, we are being vague and we are lowering the standard. So it is my intent that we delete this language and stay with what we have currently. Our testing has cut scores, and we have a menu today of testing so that we know and the public knows that our candidates and our teachers have reached that cut score level in reading, writing, and math. And I think that's so important to convey to the public that we have teachers and candidates who have accomplished that menu of tests. They can use the SAT, the NES, the Praxis, the new Praxis test, and so it's not a challenge. And I say this, you know, as far as our teachers of color and our American Indian teachers, we don't want the public to think we're lowering the standard for them. So, Madam Chair, I would ask for support.
Thank you, Representative Erickson. Response, Chair Yao-Kim?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I don't believe we're lowering the standards with this. This change was requested by Pelsby, too, and I don't have as much experience in the classroom as some of the members around this table, but I do trust the folks that do have experience in the licensing realm. It and also gives the ability, districts flexibility when it comes to moving teachers from 3 to Tier 4, both highly qualified tiers. I would ask for a no vote, and if Mr. Luizzi could come down maybe and explain it a little better than me, I'm a little sleep deprived today.
Madam Chair.
Oh, go ahead, Mr. Luisi.
Thank you. I do need to clarify one piece. Pelsby does not have an official opinion on this amendment. Board members in the past, both present and future, have addressed some concerns about the basic skills test being a barrier to teachers. The words basic skills were often argued as if they were basic or not. And the board did adopt a menu. Representative Erickson's right that there are many different ways to meet this. We do still see, even with that menu, the skills exam for teachers being quite a discrepancy between white teachers and teachers of color in different areas. I'd be happy to answer other questions about sort of the impact of what this would change would do.
Question, Representative Bennett. Excuse me, Scott.
That's okay. Wrong Peggy. So I would ask Mr. Luisi to elaborate on that. Then he offered to do that. I'd like to hear him elaborate.
Representative Luisi.
I'm sorry. Elaborate on, excuse me, Madam Chair. Representative.
The last thing that you just said about what any of the results or the outcomes of not.
Excuse me, Representative Scott, would you please speak into the microphone so we can hear you?
Doing that, I thought I was. Yeah. Okay. So if you could elaborate on the last thing that you just said about teachers being able to pass the test or that sort of thing.
Mr. Luisi.
Madam Chair, Representative, thank you for the clarification. So it gets a little bit complicated now that we have a menu of tests. It's very difficult to find data. So if an individual enters teacher preparation and passes their skills through using the SAT or the ACT that they did, we don't actually have that data anymore. The teacher preparation program itself holds that data. So all we have now are individuals who had lower scores on their ACT or their SAT to not meet the skills. Those are the only individuals now that would be taking what is the Minnesota skills exam. It's called the NES through Pearson. So the data that I have right now is a subset, which is important to note. Of that subset, our candidates who are white are passing at a rate of 73%. Our African-American candidates are passing at a rate of, this is last year's data, of 44%. Our Asian-Americans at 53%, Hispanic-Americans at 40%. American Indian candidates were actually too low to meet the number for data privacy, the amount that took that.
Representative Scott.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And so why, again, would we want to have language in there that bypasses the requirement for those tests? I'm not understanding here. I thought we were about having good qualified teachers in the classroom. And so I'm confused.
Okay. Representative Yao King.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And maybe to clear a little bit up some of the confusion, on 39.27, this is saying a school district may. So it is a permissive language that the school district may. If you go on to page 40, the language between 40.6 to 40.8 also talks about testing centers. You're still going to have to take the exams. They want to make sure that they're open so that they don't always have to be untimed. Oops, sorry. The Teachers of Color, an Indigenous coalition, has also supported this language because they feel like sometimes having too many, I don't know how to say this, and I don't know if Mr. Spies is here. They've supported it because, no, he's not. There are, as Mr. Luizzi said, there's a lot of different ways to move through from three tier to 3-4. This just allows a little bit more flexibility and only at the discretion of the district. So it's a may, it's not a must.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Madam Chair.
Representative Erickson.
Well, I think that we're setting a policy, or we're making a policy statement, even though the chair said it's permissive, that we don't honor having the same standard for all of our teachers in reading, writing, and math. And I would think that should be very disturbing to everyone in this room, that we don't have that same standard. Why are we expecting less of those we're trying to raise up? This makes no sense to me. So I hope that you will support the amendment.
Chair Yao King.
Madam Chair, and I do believe in standards, and they still have to face those standards. My concern, too, as well, is that we're having the same standards for pedagogy as we move through the tiers as well. So I'd ask for those of you at the table to oppose the amendment.
Okay. Representative, Chair Yao King. Representative Erickson has moved the A6 amendment. Those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
The motion does not prevail and the amendment is not adopted. All right, we are on to the A7 amendment. Members, there is an amendment labeled A7. May I ask who is offering this?
Madam Chair, that would be me.
And Representative Bennett.
Madam Chair, may I move the A7 amendment?
Thank you. Representative Bennett moves the A7 amendment. Representative, would you please speak to your amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And first, I'd like to request a roll call.
A roll call being?
15 hands.
Like Pat Lobstow.
Yes. You do it.
Actually, I support your amendment. I raise my hand.
All right, a roll call being requested. I'm not sure the verbiage here.
There will be one, and then we can just move to discussion.
Okay. So a roll call has been requested for A7. Is there... Okay, I understand.
Oh, wait, yes. There has to be discussion first.
We have to have discussion first. Okay, go ahead and explain your amendment, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to get that out of the way so I didn't forget.
Okay, threw me off there.
So, members, I would just like to make a couple comments changing the language here on grounds for revocation, suspension, or denial. And this currently the bill allows for non-disciplinary corrective action, and that concerns me for a couple of reasons, which is why I'm offering this amendment. First of all, Pelsby is already able to issue corrective action without a teacher completely losing his or her license or other heftier consequence. For example, the license could be suspended while that teacher is still allowed to teach. So to me, that is a lesser action that Pelsby can do. The concerning part is when we have the word non-disciplinary action, and that concern has to do with public record, because in this case, there would be no public record of this. And I want to read some of the causes, and these causes are very concerning, and I think the public deserves to know if a teacher has been disciplined for any of these. And so here are some of the causes we're talking about: immoral character or conduct, failure without justifiable cause to teach for the term of the teacher's contract, gross inefficiency or willful neglect of duty, failure to meet licensure requirements, fraud or misrepresentation in obtaining a license, or engagement in any sexual conduct or conduct with a student or contact with a student. And members, I would just like to offer that these are serious enough. The public deserves to know. Also, if that teacher should go to another, looking for another job, go to another school district, that receiving school district should be able to know these things too. And when we leave it as is, issuing a non-disciplinary corrective action, that takes it off the public record. That is absolutely confusing, and I think we should not allow for that.
Thank you, Representative Bennett. Any response, Chair Joachim?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And actually, the language that we're changing or adding that issue, non-disciplinary corrective action, doesn't quite do that. Pelsby already has the flexibility to issue these types of corrective actions or refuse, like you said, refuse to issue, refuse to renew, suspend, or revoke upon a written complaint to the school board who's employing the teacher. And when you talk about immoral character or conduct, failure with justifiable cause to teach short term of a contract, if a teacher breaks a contract because they're moving, that could, and doesn't give enough notice, it could be as simple as that. A lot of the times this non-disciplinary action may also include a teacher that's dealing with a medical condition or an illness, and it's affected their teaching, and it's something the board feels like they could be corrected with counseling. And to have that information, stuff like that, public for everyone to see, I just don't think is appropriate. I have somebody here from Education Minnesota maybe to explain it a little bit better than I am, because I am not a lawyer. So I will let a lawyer join me to explain this section. Those were just some of the examples of things that can be not as drastic as what was just talked about at the table.
Go ahead. Thank you.
Hi, Meg Luger-Nicolai, Education Minnesota. Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Joachim. The concern that we have is, and not to reiterate what Representative Joachim's comments were, but that there are certain circumstances, particularly related to, for example, alcoholism, other illness, in which there may be inefficiency in teaching that merits correction but doesn't merit public discipline. And this really gives Pelsby the opportunity to engage in corrective action, engage in ameliorative sanctions for a teacher that doesn't necessarily mean that they won't get hired in a successor district. And I realize, Representative Bennett, that may be at cross purposes with your particular intention, but it actually helps districts hire people who may not have what is a continuing problem.
Representative Bennett.
Madam Chair, thank you. And I guess I would like to ask either of the testifiers, Chair Joachim or from the teachers union, are we okay with not having public record if a teacher has engaged in sexual conduct or contact with a student, or fraud in obtaining a license? Because at this point, that's how this reads. And if we want to allow exceptions for the things that I just heard, then this should be rewritten to accommodate that and not include what I would look at as very egregious causes, and causes that the public deserves to know, and again, the receiving school district deserves to know if that's, they're looking for an employee. And it wouldn't mean they wouldn't hire that employee. that would be something they could look at those certain conditions and make those decisions. But I do believe that information is important here, and those districts and the public deserve this information. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Response?
Madam Chair, reading the underlying language, this small section that's talked about in section subdivision 1 for under A, that currently already is private, I believe, and this would make it public, but I'd lean on Ms. Luger maybe to...
Well, Madam Chair, in direct response, the board or the PELPI is never going to not revoke the license of an individual who engaged in sexual conduct with a student. That statute also presently in the status quo gives them the opportunity to impose lesser discipline, but that's not going to happen. So it is among options available to correct for a number of offenses that are listed. Proportionality is in the administration of the actual statute, and it is something that the board already does. It doesn't have this tool at its disposal for things like inefficiency or immoral character that doesn't rise to the level of, for example, sexual conduct with a student. That's not going to be a non-disciplinary corrective action. That's going to be a revocation.
Representative? Any other comments? None?
I would just ask folks to oppose, because in other parts of the statute that the engagement in sexual conduct or contact with a student rises to, as Ms. Luger said, their license will be revoked. That's in other parts. This language really is pushing the other sections, and maybe we can, as this moves forward to finance, we can look at taking out that numeral 6 if that's what's bothering you. Versus taking out the ability for PELSB to have the ability to talk about non-disciplinary corrective action. Because if number 6 is what's giving you heartburn, I'd be more than happy to discuss that, but that's not what your amendment does. So as we move on, I'd be more than happy to help with that. And I don't know if we need a roll call for that, if we're going to continue to work on it.
All right. Well, hearing no more discussion, there has been a roll call requested. If not, is there any further discussion? If not, then the clerk will take the roll, and please start with Chair Joachim.
Roll call on Amendment A7, Representative Joachim?
No.
Representative Kunesh-Podein?
No.
Representative Erickson?
Yes.
Representative Barr?
Yes.
Representative Baker?
Yep.
Representative Bennett?
Yes.
Representative Bierman?
Nope.
Representative Christensen?
No.
Representative Grunhagen?
Yes.
Representative Hassan?
No.
Representative Herr?
No.
Representative Hewitt?
No.
Representative Mariani absent. Representative Moeller?
No.
Representative Sandel?
No.
Representative Scott?
Yes.
Representative Erdahl?
Yes.
And Representative Wasilwick?
No.
There being 7 ayes and 10 nays, the amendment, the motion does not prevail, and the amendment is not adopted. All right, moving on to amendment labeled 829. May I ask who's offering this amendment?
Madam Chair, I move the 829 amendment and ask for a roll call.
All right. Representative Erickson moves the 829 amendment. Representative, please speak to your amendment.
Thank you, Madam. Oh, sorry.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Page 46, line 11, after licenses, I'd like to insert an addition to what's being called for there, that the number or percentage of teachers in each building whose most recent summative teacher evaluation resulted in placing or otherwise keeping the teacher in an improvement process pursuant to 122A.40, et cetera. So I'm just making sure that we have that information also available.
Thank you, Representative Erickson. Chair Joachim, would you like to respond?
Yes, Madam Chair. I
I would have to wholeheartedly really oppose this amendment just because summative evaluations and part of the process for QComp and evaluating teachers and having master teachers come in the classroom is so very important in improving teacher quality in our classroom. And improvement processes could be something as little as how a teacher is engaging students, how they're directing students in the classroom. It could be meant something if a mentor is seeing something that needs to be addressed. They might go to the principal and talk to the principal and put a teacher on an improvement plan to make them better. It's not always punitive. In fact, I don't even know what the percentages are about whether or not they're punitive or not. But it's not always punitive. It could be minor. It could be just directing the teacher to become a better teacher. That's why we have the whole QComp process and the evaluation process. What my big concern is with this amendment is that this would dissuade principals and administrators from doing improvement plans for teachers, because they'd be worried that, oh, now I'm going to be graded on this. So, you know, I see this teacher that might need a little bit of a course correction. I see this teacher that needs a little help in figuring out what cultural competency really means. Or I see this teacher that, you know, is, you know, something's going on in their home life that they might not be making it to school on time, even though their first lot is prep, and we need to talk about that and address that. These can be very minor things and corrections that administration needs to have the flexibility to do this and do this within their relationship with the teacher to make sure that they can become the best teacher they can be. So by making this open to the public and putting it up there with whether or not what license you have, which tier 1, 2, 3, and 4, there's very specific levels of tiered licensors that we've put in place that maybe parents do and should have the ability to see. But to add having, if there's been any improvement plan a teacher's been placed on, you know, you talk about wanting to retain teachers in the classroom and mentor them, this just takes a big tool out of an administrator's toolbox to be able to do that.
Thank you, Chair Joachim. Any further discussion? Seeing no further discussion, there will be a roll call, and the clerk will take the roll.
Roll call on Amendment 829. Representative Joachim?
No.
Representative Kunesh-Budin?
No.
Representative Erickson?
Yes.
Representative Barr?
Yes.
Representative Baker?
Yes.
Representative Bennett?
Yes.
Representative Bierman?
No.
Representative Christensen?
No.
Representative Grunhagen?
Yes.
Representative Hassan?
Nope.
Representative Herr?
No.
Representative Hewitt?
No.
Representative Mariani? Representative Mueller?
No.
Representative Sandel?
No.
Representative Scott?
Yes.
Representative Erdahl?
He stepped.
Oh, I'm sorry. And Representative Wasilewicz?
No.
There being 6 ayes and 10 nays, the amendment does not pass, and the motion, the amendment is not adopted. All right, we are on now to Amendment 39. Members, there's an amendment there. May I ask who's offering
Madam
this?
Madam Chair, I move the A39 amendment.
All right, Chair. Representative Erickson moves the A39 amendment, and is there discussion, please?
Well, Madam Chair and members, I think it's important if this is going to go forward as is proposed in 1711, that those who are teaching in our ECFE program or our adult basic education not be able to bump the teachers who are in the regular classrooms. And that's what this amendment provides for, that there must be a separate seniority list for teachers who provide instruction in K-12 from those who provide instruction in ECFE or ABE. I ask for your support.
Chair Joachim, would you like to respond?
Thank you, members. I was very happy to see that Representative Lee brought this forward. I think our teachers in ABE and ECFE are just as important, and I would consider those being regular classrooms as well, but I understand the K-12 reference. We also had some impassioned testimony the other day from an ABE teacher that's teaching at, I believe it was Lionel Lakes Prison, and the success they're having there. This just allows ABE and ECFB teachers to have access to the same type of health insurance and be able to negotiate that way. If one of those teachers does not have a license, I can't see an ECFE teacher having a seventh grade licensure as well to bump a teacher from 10 through 12. And I just think I'd like to keep to the spirit of Representative Lee's bill because I think it was a good one. So I just really question about the bumping too, but I have folks here to answer if you have any questions on it.
All right. Is there any further discussion? Then Representative Erickson moves the A3 amendment. Excuse me, 39. Representatives move the A39 amendment. If there's no more discussion, we will, those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No. No.
The motion does not prevail and the amendment is not adopted. Next, we have amendment A24. May I ask who's offering this one?
Oh, A24. Representative Grunhagen, I will move that amendment.
Representative Grunhagen moves the A24 amendment. Representative, please speak to your amendment.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. I brought this up as an oral amendment previously, and I was asked to meet with Representative Kunesh Podine, and we did visit about it. And the rationale behind here is that, actually the idea of different races was introduced by Charles Darwin back in 1883. Part of his title for The Origin of Species was The Preservation of Favorite Races in the Struggle for Life. And so he introduced this idea of different races, human races, into our scientific and educational European system. Today we know that what he believed is false. We've had advancements in biology and also medical science that proves that we are one race, the human race. So we're all related, either distantly or closely. And I know that might give some of you some consternation in terms of being related to me, but that's another story. The point is this. When you change your thinking that we are one race, the human race, and we're all really related, it changes the way you look at each other, okay? I came to that conclusion through reading some books by scientists about 20 years ago. And it's part of the reason I went into jail ministry, to try to help people, even though they look different than me sometimes in terms of appearance. So I would, I did meet with to see if this was acceptable. They didn't say completely no, but Madam Chair, Representative Yoakim, would you be open to accepting this?
Chair Yoakim.
Madam Chair, no, but I'd like to hear members' thoughts.
Further discussion?
Well, if they're not going to accept it, then I would withdraw the amendment.
Okay. I think Representative Herr would like to make a statement.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair Kunesh Podine. And I just want to maybe address this question just a little bit because I know it's come up a couple of times. And actually, I don't think that anybody is disagreeing with the fact that race is a social construct, right? We know that it was created by people in order to categorize other people so that we could say some people are lower than other people. But the problem with this is that race has been embedded in all of our structures that we've created for ourselves here, right? And so though we all believe that race is socially constructed, unfortunately, it's a part of all of our lexicon and in the way that we do our work, and that people are familiar with what race refers to. So I think that if we want to make a statement around dismantling, right, this word race and where it comes from, this probably isn't the place to do it, and that we then should be really intentional about dismantling that word and using it in all structures in which we operate within, which means that, you know, and how we need to redefine it. And it has to be a larger issue and larger movement, and then just changing it in one area when it's still applied and used in all ways within all of the systems that we're a part of, I think defeats the purpose of, I think, a really good thing that you're trying to do here. So that's just my comment around this particular issue with race, and I think that it would warrant a larger discussion at another time of really what it means for us to dismantle systems that have been created in order to create hierarchies in which we can subject certain people to other people's power and structure. So,
thank you, Representative, for response to that, Representative Grunhagen.
But, Madam Chair, I appreciate your perspective on that, and I agree with much of what you said, that it was used to categorize certain people and exploit them, actually, in certain situations. And I just think that we as a committee on educational policy need to think about this on a daily basis till next session, and maybe we can come up with a solution, okay? And it did change my perspective in my own life, okay, how I saw and related to other people and people with different ethnic backgrounds. Again, we have different ethnic backgrounds, but we're one race biologically and medical from a medical science standpoint. We're the human race, and that does change a lot of things in society and our culture and even education if you begin to grasp that concept. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Grunhagen. Any final response, Representative Herr?
Yes, thank you, Chair Kunishpudi. And in this word, it doesn't it hasn't gone unnoticed for me, because what I've been hearing a lot in all the committees we've been in is that words and getting defined, just like the word gender and defining that and what that means, right? And the fact that that race is already defined in law and in practice and in policies, that, like I said, I think that it's important for us to have a discussion, but we can't change it in one place and then have law reference it and define it in all other places. And I think it would be a great idea for us to figure out where the origin of where we use race and where it's all defined, so that then we can change that in all those places, so that then in future policies and future bills that we create, we can start following a new practice of how to do it.
Response, Representative Grunhagen.
So.
Thank you, Representative Grunhagen. Since it's been withdrawn, we will move on to our next amendment, and our next amendment is the A14 amendment. May I ask who's offering this amendment?
Representative Grunhagen, I'll move that amendment.
All right. Representative Grunhagen moves the A14 amendment. Would you please speak to your amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, this puts into education the requirement that you have to pass a test, an academic test, in order to graduate. You know, we've had discussions about the MCA here in committee, and I can't remember which members or a couple members who said a lot of students don't take it seriously. And I think one of the reasons they don't take it seriously is because it's not a requirement. Now, when I was on the school board, the legislature had passed the reading and math requirement in eighth grade. Remember that? I think most of you remember that. Okay, our school district did very poorly. We were on the bottom 10 out of all the schools in the state as far as our reading and our math scores. It was, quite frankly, embarrassing, okay? And you know what the result was? Even though it was embarrassing for us, we focused on teaching reading and math in the first eighth grades. And guess what happened as we had to take these reading and math tests each year? Our test scores went up, okay? So kids became more competent in reading and math because of that requirement. So if you want to address the achievement gap, this is one way to do it. Now, I spoke previously about the need or the why it's important to take information in, even if it's crammed, process it, and put it out accurately. It develops an intellectual habit of taking information in, processing it, and putting it out accurately, which is a necessary ingredient to be successful in life. Now, again, some people do that more quickly. Some take longer. But it's something that all students should develop while they're in a K-12 education. and rote learning and memorization is one of the ways to instill that intellectual habit. So members, if we want to address the achievement gap, if we want to do a service to our students to make sure that they're competent in academics, which I know all of us want, I would strongly urge you to support this amendment, and I'd ask for a roll call.
A roll call being requested. I will, excuse me, Chair Yoakim, would you like to respond?
Yes, please. Representative Grunhagen, I really appreciate your thoughts around assessments, and it's an area I really want to dig into next year. Because you're right, we have about, one of my school districts has 70% of the kids opting out of the NCAAs. So I do not know how that would work if we put this language in here now without fixing the reason why they may be opting out. I know the governor has a proposal for getting rid of the above and below grade level standards, questions. And then also, I think this would put us in direct conflict with the federal law that requires parents to be able to opt out of this. So by making it a requirement, to take it for graduation, I don't know how we fulfill the federal requirement that's on opting out.
Representative Grunhagen.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for that response, Chair Yoakim. It doesn't get implemented till 2021, so we have a little bit of time here to vet it and make sure to see how it's going to be implemented and also to pass additional legislation if it needs to be modified. But I really believe that this is a step towards the achievement gap, towards students in general, and it's what education primary purpose is to create academic excellence. So with that, I will ask for that roll call.
Thank you. Chair Yoakim, would you like to respond?
Yes, Madam Chair. When you want to get people together to talk about something that you're going to make a big change on, it's not the best idea to put an idea in their head and set it into stone and say, this is where we're headed. We want to be able to have this thorough discussion next year around assessments, and I also want to tackle looking at how we're setting standards and benchmarks and to have all the stakeholders here. I think this is really premature, and I think it would really harm that conversation, so I ask folks for a no vote.
Thank you. Representative Mahler, would you like to?
Yeah. Thank you, Madam Chair and Representative Grunhagen. I appreciate your comments, too, and I look forward to discussing this in more detail next year. But I can tell you, as the parent of a senior who has opted out with my approval, I agree with you that the primary purpose of is academic achievement for our kids, but it's not the primary purpose to test our students to death. And he's taken the ACT, the SAT, the SAT subject tests, a number of AP classes, you know, the PSAT. There are just so many tests that they're taking in high school. So I really don't want to make this mandatory at this point, but I do look forward to the discussion about it next year.
Any more discussion? Seeing none, then we will ask the clerk to take the roll.
Roll on Amendment 14, Representative Yoakim.
No.
Representative Kuneshwadin?
No.
Representative Erickson?
Yes.
Representative Barr?
Yes.
Representative Baker?
Yes.
Representative Bennett?
No.
Representative Bierman? Representative Christensen?
No.
Representative Grunhagen?
Yes.
Representative Hassan?
No.
Representative Herr?
No.
Representative Hewitt?
No.
Representative Mariani?
No.
Representative Mueller?
No.
Representative Sandel?
No.
Representative Scott?
Yes.
Representative Erdahl?
Yes.
Representative Wasilik?
No.
There being 7 ayes and 10 nays, the motion does not prevail and the amendment is not adopted. Members, we are going to move on to the next set of amendments. We will be looking at Amendment A22. And
Madam Chair, I believe that's Representative Bierman's, and he just had to step out for a moment.
Oh.
If we can move on to the A40.
Okay, A40 is amendment by Representative Wasilik. If you would like to speak to your amendment, would you like to move your amendment?
Yes, Madam Chair, I'd like to move the amendment.
Representative Waslowick has moved the A40 amendment. Would you speak to your amendment, please?
Yes, Madam Chair, thank you. The language in this amendment has been agreed upon by the non-public school stakeholders and the Department of Education. So this language essentially addresses the challenge of not having those teacher materials and makes basically them have to be bundled with the student materials.
Thank you. Would anybody like to respond to that? Any discussion? Chair Joachim?
Madam Chair, I would support Representative Waslowick and the work she's done with all the stakeholders on this and want to thank her for it.
Any more discussion?
And ask for a yes vote.
Okay. Representative Waslowick has moved the A40 amendment. If there is no other discussion, those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted.
Madam Chair, just a correction on the vote that was taken on the Grünhagen roll call.
Excuse me, Representative Erickson?
Just a correction on the roll call vote that you called on the Grünhagen amendment. It was 6, not 7.
Thank you for that correction, Representative Erickson. 6 ayes and 11 nays.
Thank you, Representative Erickson. I think our staff's a little overworked at this point, so thank you.
All right. We are now moving on to the A28 amendment. Representative Herr, would you like to move your amendment?
And then Representative Bierman's back for his, too.
Representative Herr, would you like to move your amendment?
Yes, I'd like to. Yes, please. So moved.
Thank you. Representative Herr has moved her amendment. Would you like to speak to your amendment?
I think that this just clarifies the intent of the author and what they're trying to do. And so I think this is, I don't know, it's pretty clear in what this actually says here. I don't know if you want me to read it or.
Chair Joachim.
Madam Chair, I can agree with that, too. This is the Representative Carly Katiza-Watoon's bill on foster care and placing students in school as soon as possible once they've moved or changing homes. This is language that was worked out with all the stakeholders, and I know they're hearing the bill today as well in HHS because there was another section of the bill that went to HHS. So this is just clarifying language. There may need to be a few more tweaks. The stakeholders are still working on it just to see how the fiscal impact happens in HHS. So as this moves to finance, there may be some work, but I would suggest a yes vote on this to get it closer to where it needs to be.
All right. Any other discussion? Question. Representative Barr.
Madam Chair, I did notice a difference in here in the original language. In the DE, it says 7 school days, and in the A28, it says 7 days or 7 calendar days. Was that intentional to take 2 days off? School days would be, 5 days in a week, Saturday, Sunday off. So I just wanted to check and see if that was the author's actual intent.
Madam Chair, Representative Barr, are you talking about the language on 1.5 where it says within 7 days of student's placement?
Yes, ma'am. 1.5, Chair Joachim, it says 7 days on 1.5, and then in the DE, it has on 2.11, which we're replacing, is the last two words are 7 school days.
Chair Joachim?
Madam Chair, Representative Barr, it's my understanding that this was what the foster care advocates and the schools agreed upon, but we can double check on that as it moves into finance if you'd like. Like I said, I think there's a few tweaks, and it looks like we have somebody here. I'm going to phone a friend who is an expert who will come down and speak about all the work that's been done on this. Thank you. I forgot you were here.
Would you please introduce yourself and proceed with your testimony?
Hello, my name is Huang Murphy. I'm the founder and executive director of Foster Advocates. Sorry, I was sitting on the opposite side, apparently.
Proceed, Mr. Murphy.
Can you repeat the question, please?
Madam Chair, to the testifier, I just wanted to make sure it was your intent to make this 7 calendar day, take it from 7 school days to 7 calendar days, because it changed. It doesn't matter to me which way but it's a change, and I just wanted to make sure it was the author's intent that it was going to be 2 days faster.
Mr. Murphy.
Yeah, so, there's a lot of changes that we would still like to see, and we're working with both the Department of Human Services and the Department of Education to seek out those changes. We support the amendment as follows, but we would like to see some of those changes happen.
Representative Barr?
Which one would you want, 7 calendar or 7 school? I mean, it's a straightforward question. Which one do you prefer?
Mr. Murphy.
Yeah, so it would be my preference for 7 school days, personally, but I'm willing to work with everyone involved to make sure that we see a reasonable change. I think 7 school days offers people enough buffer time, allow for, like, holidays and things like that where they could have, like, a day off that could maybe complicate a transfer. But, again, we're still working things out.
Representative Barr.
Madam Chair, would the author entertain a verbal amendment to add school in the as a third word in line 1.5 on the A28 amendment, so it reads within 7 school days?
Chair Joachim, would you accept that verbal amendment?
Madam Chair, with Mr. Murphy nodding yes, yes, I will. Hmm? Representative Herr, it's her amendment.
Though. Oh, Representative Herr, I'm sorry.
I'm so
would
sorry.
Would you accept that amendment?
Yes, Chair Kunish Budim, I would.
Wonderful. Thank you. So with Representative Herr accepting that verbal amendment that changing it from just 7 days to 7 school days on line 1.5 of the A28 amendment, any more discussion? Representative Mariani.
Madam Chair, I hate to be presumptuous, but perhaps for the record we should have our House research then read that language.
Would you please, Ms. Parra?
Madam Chair and members, yes. With the oral amendment, the language on line 1.5 would read, within 7 school days of a student's placement in foster care and each placement thereafter.
Thank you, Ms. Parra. Thank you, Representative Mariani, for reminding us of that. Is there any other discussion? Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to ask the testifier, is this okay with Human Services to make these school days rather than 7 days in a row?
Mr. Murphy.
Well, I can't speak to their direct intent, but I can speak to the fact that we are in communication with them, and this is not the part of the language that they had any disagreement with.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, those in favor, do I have to first do the amendment? No. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted.
Madam Chair, I don't know. Are we supposed to vote on the oral amendment first and then the amendment? So I think
she accepted.
She accepted, so it's okay. Thank you. Just wanted to check.
Thank you. All right, folks, we are going to All right, we are going to move on to the A38 amendment.
Madam Chair, could we do the A22 amendment? Oh, he just left again. Okay. That man moves fast. Next time he's in the room, let's do his amendment.
All right, we are moving on to the A38
amendment. Madam Chair, did we adopt the amendment as amended?
We did. Thank you, Representative Erickson.
Okay. Why don't we do that motion again? Because I'm glad you caught that, Representative Erickson. I'm not sure if we did the amendment as amended.
Okay, so we will start with the oral amendment.
Oh, no, we already accepted the oral amendment. I think we just have to say we adopt the A28 amendment as amended.
Oh, okay. So what we will do now is vote again on the A28 amendment as amended. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Thank you. All right, we will move on to the A38 amendment. Representative Hussain, would you like to move your amendment?
So moved, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Hassan. Would you like to speak to your amendment?
Madam Chair, I don't want to correct you. It's Hassan.
Hassan.
The 838 amendment is just adding, this is a language from the school board instead of doing an annual notice. They were comfortable just adding the notice on the student handbook. And this was something that the School Board Association was able to do because they don't oversee every school's calendar, but they can include the religious notifications on the student's handbook.
Thank you. Any discussion? Seeing none, then those in favor, please signify by saying aye for the adoption of the 838 amendment.
Aye. Aye.
Any in opposition? Seeing none, the motion does prevail, and this amendment is adopted. All right, if you would take a look at the 820 amendment. And who would like to speak to this?
Madam Chair, that's my amendment.
Okay, Representative Bennett. Representative Bennett moves, would you like to move the 820 amendment?
So moved, Madam Chair.
All right. Representative Bennett moves the 820 amendment. Would you like to speak to your amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. This simply changes the name of the what's currently called the School Safety Technical Assistance Center. Changes it to School Climate Center. And I think as we've all been talking about school safety, we can see the confusion that's happening between these terms now. And in addition, actually the MMB, when they awarded, or that's a federal grant that was awarded to the school, what's now called the School Safety Technical Assistance Center, that's a term. They've called it the School Climate Transformation Grant Program. So even in the federal government is calling it School Climate. They're also a confusing term. There's a School Safety Center within the Department of Public Safety that existed actually previous to 1314 when all this was adopted. And actually originally in 1314, a School Climate Center was the terminology used. So I would just ask that we go back to the School Climate Center so that we can keep a School Safety Center separate and so on. I think I don't need to explain anymore. Thank you.
Thank
it's
you.
Too confusing.
Thank you, Representative Bennett. Chair Yao-Akim.
Yes, Madam Chair. Representative Bennett, I appreciate the sentiment of this language, but I'm a little concerned about it being vague from the original intent of the name. It's my understanding the technical assistance part of it was really important to MDE and folks not feeling like it was super prescriptive, but they were there just to provide assistance. So I'm wondering if you'd accept a friendly oral amendment, and I know it makes it longer, but I think it is really defines it and makes sure we know exactly what we're talking about, to say the School Climate Technical Assistance Center.
Yeah,
I would Representative Bennett.
Yes, Madam Chair, I would accept that oral amendment.
You would accept that oral amendment.
Incorporated.
Thank you. So let's ask Ms. Parra to read that back to us.
Madam Chair, members, so the change would appear in two places. So on line 1.5, paragraph A would read, the revisor of statutes shall substitute the term School Climate Technical Assistance Center for School Safety Technical Assistance Center, wherever the term appears in Minnesota statutes. And line 1.7 would read, paragraph B, the revisor of statutes shall substitute the term School Climate Technical Assistance Council for School Safety Technical Assistance Council, wherever the term appears in Minnesota statutes.
Thank you, Ms. Parra. Any other discussion? All right, so first we will vote on the verbal amendment. Excuse me.
So vote on the full amendment as amended.
Okay, we will vote on the full amendment as amended. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The amendment has been, the amendment prevails, and the amendment has been adopted.
As amended.
All right. We will move on to the A18 amendment. I believe Representative Erdahl is offering that.
I think you're passing them out now. Representative, we have Representative Behrman still, but he's not in. So, well, actually, you know, I want to give him a chance to offer it. I am very familiar with it, but we'll wait for him to come back. The pages are passing out the rest of the copies of the amendments. I would ask to just for help for us for Thursday, if you could just pull one amendment out of the time, out of the green slip, so we can leave the rest in to put back into our folders to save folks some work. That would be greatly appreciated. And we just, Representative Erdahl, I think you might be right. We might be hitting a land speed record here, getting done quicker than I thought. As a reminder, tomorrow we'll be starting out with Representative Sandell's bill. That should go pretty quickly, and then we'll talk about the two bills we're moving onto the floor, and then we'll move to amendments. And at this rate, we may not have to come back tomorrow night. So thank you for the work, members. And I think we're just about ready. Want to give everybody a chance to settle and look at it.
All right. Well, let's move on then. The A18 amendment. Representative Erdahl, would you like to move your amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, I would move the A18 amendment.
All right. Representative Erdahl moves the A18 amendment. Would you like to speak to your amendment?
Yes, thank you. And first of all, I would like to express thanks to Chair Youakim for including the essence of my civics legislation in the bill. I'm sure by sheer error, a couple parts of it were left out, and I'm just trying to help out with that situation. A18 deals with experiential learning portion of the bill, the learning by doing, the part that adds civics to the world's best workforce and provides a definition. Now, learning by doing is important. The Brookings Institute says it appears that civics education today still occurs for many, if not most, students through discussion rather than participation. But according to many experts, discussion alone is inadequate to provide students the type of well-rounded civics education they need to prepare for lives as engaged and informed citizens. Governor Walz used this as a teacher, and in my conversation 2 days ago with him, said he considered it an important part of this bill. Secretary of State Steve Simon specifically came to our press conference because of this part of the bill. It's already in our social studies benchmarks under our standards. Let's put this back in. This simply clarifies and makes uniform a current provision in our standards. So that's all I'm asking, something that the governor supports, Secretary Simon supports, and is in the standards currently. Let's put it back in.
Thank you, Representative.
See, no objections.
Thank you, Representative Erdahl. Representative Youakim, would you like to respond?
Madam Chair, I'd like to accept this as a friendly amendment.
Is there any other discussion?
Thank you.
And one quick clarifying question. Just to put into, I know there was some concerns around how PSCO students were going to navigate this, or students that were outside the classroom. And I spoke with the PSCO folks. They think that this will actually help with dealing with that in 11th and 12th grade. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Seeing none, hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. We are going to jump ahead to the A19-0179 Baker Amendment. Representative Baker, would you like to move your amendment?
Madam Chair, actually, I think Representative Barr is going to carry that one for me, and I've got an amendment to that one amendment.
All right. Representative Barr, would you like?
Madam Chair, quick clarification, since the DE1 is not is already an amendment. We can't do an amendment to an amendment to an amendment the way it was drafted, I believe. But maybe I'll ask Ms. Barr to explain that. I just wondering if we should talk about both of them at the same time or how we want to do it. Ms. Barr, can you maybe help me out a little bit?
Madam Chair, members, so the A190179 is drafted as an amendment to the DE1 amendment, and it appears the A190185 is an amendment to the amendment to the amendment. I believe it could be incorporated into the, so the A190185 could be incorporated into the A190179.
So, Madam Chair, I would suggest that we incorporate it first before we move.
All right.
The total thing. So,
okay.
However you have to work your magic so we can continue the discussion.
So, we are going to, I will make a move, a movement or a suggestion to move the A19-0185 Baker Amendment into the A19-0179 amendment. Is there any discussion? Representative Baker, are you in favor of this?
Yes, Madam Chair. I was ready for any comments, but I appreciate that work on that. Thank you.
Thank you. Any discussion? There being none, those in favor of moving the A19-0185 Baker amendment to the amendment into amendment A19-0179 Baker amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The movement has happened. And the A19-0185 Becker appointment has been moved into the A19-0179 Baker amendment.
Madam Chair, maybe we'll have Ms. Parra explain where on the A19-0179 that would be located then, just so we know.
Thank you. Ms. Parra.
Madam Chair, members, the 0185, so the shorter one, is one paragraph. It's paragraph E that would go after line 21 on page 1, so right before the effective date. So it would be the last paragraph in that section.
Thank you, Ms. Farah.
Any other questions or discussion, Chair Yelkin?
I believe Representative Barr and Baker may want to talk about their amendment, and then I have some comments, too.
Excellent. All right. Gentlemen, would you like to speak to this amendment? Representative Baker?
Madam Chair and members, yes. So this is regarding a bill that didn't get a hearing this year, but I think it's an important one to bring up, especially for rural Minnesota. This bill talks about youth activity groups that is requesting to get information out to parents about whatever it is that that youth activity wants to do. In this case, we were using sort of the Northern Stars Scouting Group, and what they're trying to get to is basically, and I didn't have copies, but this is what they're trying to do. We're trying to get things like this in their backpacks so they can have a place to just get it out and contact students directly with families. What's been happening is with the age of electronic devices, it doesn't always work in rural Minnesota. And so what some of these groups are seeing is a reduction in the way that they're connecting with families. So what this amendment does, and the bill did initially, Madam Chair, was to allow this to come to the policy group. And the last amendment that I added on, it really kind of waters it down so that if the school district is not doing anything outside their normal youth activity requirements or their policy to let certain other groups out there that they wouldn't already allow into the communication with their students. We just felt this was something that was important to revisit. This we want to get up, at least teed up into the main DE bill, and I hope that Madam Chair Yuakim will allow this to happen. That was the intent of this, members, to make sure that kind of information can flow. Again, these are at the cost of the activities group. This is no cost to the school. They provide the paper. They provide the information. But we just feel we're missing a lot of students that are not getting that information. So I stand ready for questions, and maybe my co-author on this one is to talk about that.
Representative Barr?
Madam Chair. So Section E or line E on this was to make sure that school districts had some what's the right word for it, but they were not forced into this. Isn't a mandate. You know, if there's a school policy that says we don't distribute anything, then we're not going to mandate from here that you have to distribute this. So this will still be in conjunction with all the school policies. So
thank you, Representative Barr. Is there any other discussion? Representative Barr, or excuse me, her.
That's a compliment, right? To call me Representative Barr. Representative you Chair Kunishwidian, I guess I just had a question around this that I used to be one of those parents who, when I was a stay-at-home mom for 5 years, I used to stuff the folders that went home with my children with all of the flyers and things like that. And I saw a lot of objection from families around even really simple things like a daddy-daughter dance where someone says, well, there are children who don't have a father, and they don't want those flyers going out to everyone. And I wonder, you know, if what becomes acceptable for one group and what might not be for another. And so our school just banned every kind of literature that goes home because it was just so subjective of what gets to be included and what doesn't. And I guess I'm wondering, it sounds like this is optional, and that if school policy says a principal can still ban it, it would still be the case. But maybe can you provide some information or guidance around, I know it says that it can't be information that talks to like race or ethnicity, you know, hostility towards those groups, gender identity, things like that. But I don't know, I guess, do you have maybe thoughts around that and how you decide what would be appropriate and what wouldn't be?
And Madam
Representative
Chair,
Baker.
And Representative Herr, if I could maybe have a friend come down and just talk about this a little bit, about the intent of this, because it's a good question. We just know that there's been there's something missing about connecting with these families over the last few years, and I think this is an important moment. And again, I feel bad we didn't get a chance to get a hearing this year, so I'm glad you brought this up. But I think we could have a real quick testimony if we could have just a phone friend talk about this kind of concept, if that'd be all right.
Chair Yao-Kim, would you like to?
Madam Chair, I would mind doing that. We're close to our time, so if they can be brief, but I will also then open it up to folks that oppose it because we did not have this bill up before
Thank
us.
You. Thank you.
All right. Would the testifier please step up to the microphone, introduce yourself, and proceed with your testimony?
Madam Chair, my name is James Erickson. I'm here representing the North Star Council, now known as Northern Star Scouting. I'm one of the youth organizations, I'm representing one of the youth organizations that would take advantage of this. Very briefly, to the point, Representative Baker made the point that it's been transference has been, school districts had sent it home electronically. And what he held up is exactly what we as Boy Scouts and other organizations, youth organizations, and we're extensions of the school year. We're extensions of the school mission. We teach citizenship and the like. And we'd like the opportunity to get that flyer in the backpack so we can have a chance to recruit young people into our organizations. It's that simple. You're correct. Some schools, and we don't want to force our way in the way. That's what that amendment is to do, to soften it up. But we want the point made that this is an important thing, and we want to work with the school districts and be partners in education, not forcing it. So that's the answer, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Erickson. Is there any further discussion?
Madam Chair, I believe there's someone, since we didn't have any testimony on this bill, to briefly give the other side, and then we should probably go to a quick discussion and then vote. So I know there's folks in here right after us.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Valerie Dozlin, and I represent the Minnesota Association of School Administrators. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to this bill. First of all, I think this issue requires a hearing. There's not ample time in a couple minutes to be able to talk about the issues. And while that amendment did add some comfort language, I think we need to have a better idea of what statewide school districts have in regards to policies about access to information to distribute to families. I know the School Boards Association has a model policy, but we need to, I think, have a better idea of what other local school districts have in place. And I think you know, while it's the scouting group that's here today, what other groups are going to want to have access? I mean, right now this bill says, yes, it has to be in line with their policies, but it's a mandate that says school districts shall permit access to youth organizations to distribute informational literature. And I think there needs to be more time to discuss this. We don't know who all the groups are who's going to want this. There's the YMCA, the YWCA, Girl Scouts, Youth United Nations. I mean, who knows how many different groups I have. And I do just want to reiterate, you know, we've had a lot of topic or discussion this year on mandates. And I saw a teacher today in the cafeteria that I know, and I was talking with this teacher about a number of different bills. And he said, so when are we, our school districts and teachers and administrators, going to have the time to teach? And so we would just ask that this be put on pause and we have an opportunity to have another discussion. And I've expressed this with the advocates of the bill. We are happy to have a conversation about how to voluntarily work together to collaborate on this issue and move forward to get information to school districts on a voluntary basis. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Oakland. Is there any other discussion? One more? Representative Baker.
Just to follow up, I guess, to that. I think Ms. Doslin is not incorrect. I just want to, I think the intent here was to try to get it to maybe conference, and if it still works, great. If it doesn't, we'll pull it out, we'll fix it. But it's an important conversation to have, and that's why I didn't really want to withdraw it unless, I mean, the author of the bill really doesn't like it. I'd like to try to let it continue on with this pathway, and if it's possible to do that. But again, this is very voluntary. It doesn't go outside of the school district's rules already in place. We try to make it real watered down. For that, I hope that you would accept this amendment.
Representative Herr had one comment.
Thank you, Chair. And I think just maybe want to add just one quick comment to this. And not that I'm against this, but I think the intention is really good. Just to give perspective of that, it required a volunteer to be in a classroom. And that was me every day, and I spent probably about 4 hours a day volunteering and just to stuff the folders, because we weren't just putting in like flyers from people. I was putting in kids' finished homework and then the new homework that was coming and then lesson material and then putting all of this stuff in. It literally, for you know, like 30 kids, took me, you know, probably 2 hours to do that. And so I just think about like what it might mean if we're allowing larger volumes to come in and then having to sort through that and then stuffing all those, and that's time taken away that I'm not helping the teacher with reading in classes. And then if you have schools that also lack the volunteers, it could pose additional problems. And so I think that this is a good place to start, and I think it's important to ensure that people have access to these programs. But I do also want to acknowledge the strain that puts on the classroom and teachers and the volunteers.
All right. Chair Joachim, final word.
Madam Chair, I do have a little heartburn of putting something in that we didn't hear. I would really kind of leave it up to the members and their comfort level.
All right. Well, if there's no further discussion, we will go on to vote on this. Is those in favor of the A19-0179 amendment, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
There you go.
The motion does not prevail in the amendment.
Madam Chair, I think Mr. Baker asked for Mr. Baker asked for a division. I represent Baker.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. Division. Okay, so a division has been called. And would you please, are those in favor, please say, raise your hand. And we have
about seven.
Okay, five. We vote. All right.
Those opposed?
About 11.
All right. So the motion does not prevail, and the amendment is not adopted. Thank you. And with that, members, I think we are going to be done.
One quick announcement. I'm sorry, Madam Chair. I just want to make sure people know that we're here in this room, but at a different time. We're here from 9. We're taking over education finances time from 9:45 to 11:15. It's been posted for a while. That's where we are tomorrow. And at the rate, you know, we got 17 amendments down. We got 11 more to go and 3 bills. So if we all get here in time, we may not have to go into the evening. So,
all right. And that is a.m., not p.m., correct?
9:15 a.m., yes. Thank you.
We are adjourned.